Hi, everybody. I'm Lida, and I'm an alcoholic. And I wasn't nervous till he started that. Now I'm nervous. I was fine because I know all of you, and so I thought it was going to be real easy. I don't really know where to start. My AA birthday is tomorrow. I'll have 12 years tomorrow. The guys got me a coin, made me, you know, I got a lump in my throat. And I got a bracelet from Laura. You know, I wasn't expecting none of this. It was just a regular, and I got lipstick on my collar from Brenda. So we just kind of got the ball rolling here. Well, let me see. I, like anybody else, came from a dysfunctional family. You know how that goes, you know. I never knew my father. My mom was married three times, and my first stepfather was an alcoholic. And so I really don't know if my father was. My mother wasn't. The only time she drank was so she wouldn't get beat up anymore, you know. When I was a child, if you looked at something or someone, you would get a whipping. It didn't matter what you did. When you sat at the table, and if you didn't have your chin up and your eyes down, you got a whipping. I remember many times eating bloody food because I didn't have my shoulders straight when I was sitting at the table eating. For that went on until I left home. Well, my eighth grade graduation, I had gone to graduation. My mother wasn't allowed to go, and I couldn't figure out why she wasn't allowed to go. Well, needless to say, I was raped by my stepfather that night. So I'll never forget my eighth grade graduation. And that continued until I ran away from home at 17. When I ran away from home, I moved here to Erie with my aunt. And I started working at, first I worked at the Boston store. Well, wait a minute, I gotta tell you one story that happened to me when I was 17. I just started working, this before I left home, and I got a job working at Dunk's Diner in, or not Dunk's Diner, Gigi's restaurant, you know. And they made me this darling little upstairs maid costume to wear to waiting on the tables. And so I had to wait about 2 days before they had the outfit for me to wear. And I got my outfit, and I'm waiting on tables, and this guy asked me. He says, I think I'll have the city chicken. Well, mind you, I'm right from the farm. So I conveniently let him know that city chicken, country chicken, it's all alike. You'll get, and you'll get what we have, you know. Well, Gigi couldn't speak very good English, but I understood you're fired. And I left. I left with my little maid outfit, you know. But that lasted exactly 20-minute job. That was my very first job I ever had. And as long as I was getting fired, I went to Boston store to work, and I got fired from there, too. That, all this happened before I started drinking, so you know what I was like, you know. Once I started drinking, I just multiplied everything, you know. But, yeah, Boston store was a kind of a comical one. This lady had this gorgeous mink sitting there, you know, fifth floor, fancy dining. And I'm in a little costume, again, that they had to make for me because at that time I only weighed 78 pounds. So I was a lightweight. And we had these huge trays, and I'm carrying this tray being a, with tomato juice. Oh. Yeah. That lady said, don't worry, I got lots of them. I'm thinking, I'll take it, you know. Well, needless to say, I got fired from that job. So I went to work at GE, and I didn't get fired from there, thank God. But I worked there for about 10 years. In the process, I met my husband. I worked with his mother. She worked here, and I worked here. And I never, you know, I didn't know she had a son or anything like that. She had two of them, matter of fact. I was talking with her about this guy I met, you know, and going on and on about him. And I didn't know that the guy I'm going with is her son, you know. So that one's real cute. But, I was trying to meet him. So I went out in the parking lot. I always had to catch the bus to get home. And him and his dad were walking. And I knew his dad because when I first started at GE, I worked in the cafeteria serving the people that worked there. And his dad used to always flirt with me every day, and I'd flirt right back. Anyway, so I'm trying to meet this guy that's walking with his father, but I didn't know it was his father. And so I go to run into him, and his father had the same idea and pushed him, and I landed in a snowdrift. Well, I didn't meet him that day. So we went about a month or so later, my girlfriend called me up and asked me if I'd like to go on a blind date, and I said, sure. I said, but this guy must be something if they have to set him up with a blind date, you know. So she's telling me he's from a Catholic family, you know, he's got, works at GE, you know, and, you know, he's just an all-around good guy. So Catholic, raised Catholic, okay, I'll wear a little plaid skirt and a little top with a little bow tie, you know. And I have it on, and he comes to the door, and I opened the door, and it was him. I slammed the door in his face, ran upstairs, put on my go-go boots and my black tight jeans and shirt, and came back down. And he goes, who was that? And I said, that was my sister. My sister did look like me, but she wasn't living there yet. She was still at home, you know. But so our very first date, we go to Kelly's. And, you know, on the way there, he's telling me, it's got spears on the wall, straw on the floor, straw roof. I'm thinking, what the heck are you taking me a place like that for? Well, needless to say, I drank two beers and I was Miss Yak. Man, I yacked and yacked and yacked. They couldn't shut me up. And so when we went home, I thought, well, man, he's never gonna come back, you know. So, well, that started our romance. And a year later, we ended up getting married. He had it in his mind that we wouldn't have children for at least 5 years, you know. Well, Christmas Eve came, and I had a little surprise for him. I was pregnant, and I didn't know how to tell him, so I made a little note and stuck it under the Christmas tree. We moved into our house that day, so I had a little tree like this, had that letter under, and he says, oh, you gave me money. And I says, oh, no, you're going to need money. When he read it, he flipped out. He was not, there. No way are we going to have children before, you know, we get all settled and everything. And we just bought the house, you know. And so, well, then, 6 months later, after we bought the house, I had the baby. And everybody had said that I had to get married, you know, because when I was 3 months, I looked like I was 6 months, I'd deliver any minute, you know. And I looked like that for the whole nine months. It took me 14 months to have that baby. That was a long, long pregnancy. So then 3.5 years later, I had my second one. Tom's still fuming about the first one, you know. Now we got two of them, you know. Our life started to get a little bit. He'd go out drinking and not come home. Well, I'd sit at home and drink. That's not good, you know. And when he'd get home, I'd waylay him, you know, with everything. We had the cops out there one time because the neighbors had called the cops because it was too much noise arguing and looked like somebody was trying to kill somebody next door. And when the cops got there, Tom was sweeping the floor. What happened is he had went to swing at me, and I went like that, and there was a box of Rice Krispies, and away he went, across the floor, and he fell on the floor. He gets up, and he's sweeping it up when the cops got there. And they said, everything okay? And I says, yeah, everything's fine. He says, looks like you got everything under control. I hope so. You know, I've just gotten in. Nobody was going to beat me up. I'll fix them, you know. He was twice my size, you know. But that happened a couple different times, you know. And I decided that I couldn't take no more of the mental abuse. It was more mental than physical abuse from him. And I divorced him. And in the process, I have two of my kids were asthmatic, very bad asthmatics. And I had taken them to the doctors, and the doctor recommended that we move to a warmer climate. So my husband, X, and I decided to get back together. We're going to move away from Erie. So we moved to California, best place to move when you're... You know, geographical cure there. We don't know anybody, so everything will be fine. Well, that way I more or less lost my job because I quit GE, you know, to move to California. Tom got transferred, which works with him, but they had no transfer places for me out there. So I got the terrific job of bartending. Good job for an alcoholic, I'll tell you. I worked in two different bars. I'd worked days at the beer bar, because in California, beer and wine, beer, mixed drinks. So clubs had all the drinks, you know. So I'd work at a beer bar in the daytime and a club at night, you know. So I had both worlds anyway, you know. I could drink alcohol or just beer. Well, I was a beer drinker, so the daytime... You know, I'd shoot pool with all the customers and play darts with them, drink beer all day long, you know. And the typical alcoholic thing. I mean, I loved my job. I made good money as a bartender. I could out-talk the customers and talk them into anything, you know. They'd buy a drink and they weren't even ready. I got two DUIs, both of them in California. Both within a year. And the first one I got, I really deserved because I had the one eye shut because I wasn't sure exactly where the yellow lines were there, you know. And I was in my girlfriend's Cadillac. Well, I didn't even know how to drive a Cadillac. I had a little sports car, you know, a little Mustang, and then I'm driving this huge Cadillac, one eye shut. We're going from one party to another. Actually, what I was doing was come from a Halloween party and going to another Halloween party where I was going to work. I was drunk. And my girlfriend was with me. And so the cop pulls us. I looked in the mirror and went, oh, I'm going to jail. The first thing came out of my mouth. And she goes, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I don't have a driver's license. I said, don't worry about it. You know, pulled us over. And they took me to jail and took her to the bar. And I was in jail for 4 hours, you know, because there you have to be there 4 hours, then they release you. I got back to where I was supposed to be working, and everybody was waiting for me, and they had this huge banner that they put up, DUI Queen. Oh, was I mad, you know. And then the second one, I actually did not deserve. I was driving two customers that were totally wiped out. I had served them. I figured I'll take them home. One was deaf and one was like 80-some years old. And I says, I'll take yous home. And they had bought me a couple of beers. And I hadn't had, I drank one of them, but I hadn't had anything to eat. And I'd been working 16 hours straight. And so I'm driving. And when I'm driving, I looked over to see what this one kid was telling me where he lived, and he was doing his sign language. And when I looked over to see where he said, I swerved. Well, in California, you just have to swerve. That's it. You're going to jail. I looked in the mirror. Oh, shit, I'm going to jail. They left those two gentlemen there to walk home and took me to jail. Well, they had taken everything out of my pickup with me to jail. I had a beer, and wasn't opened. It was closed. And they said, what do you want me to do with this? I says, put it back where you got it from, you know. So when I went back to get my truck, damn it, that beer wasn't in my truck. I don't believe they did that. You know, I'm thinking, I'm looking around, you know, they're going to be waiting for me to crack open that beer. I said, oh, no. Well, when I got back to my truck, those two guys were laying in the field, and I still ended up taking them home. And I'm the one that went to jail. They were really, you know, they should have went. But so we got them, I got them home and everything. So I decided, you know, I better quit this drinking. Well, when I, my husband and I split up again, you know, and so I was on my own, and I owned my own home. But when I got fired again from the American Legion because I barred the commander. So I got fired. Well, when I got fired from there, at that time, there was no jobs nowhere. And so I was collecting unemployment, which most of my jobs were under the table. So I had no unemployment going into this. So I was getting $87 every 2 weeks. Well, my lot rent was $300 and something, not counting my utilities. I owned my own home. But the lot rent and utilities, I couldn't pay them. So I ended up out on the street. And I was there for 2 years, looking, you know. And in that length of time, being homeless, I did a lot of crazy things, but we, a bunch of us got together, us homeless, and we found an abandoned house, and we fixed it up, and we carpeted it, and I made curtains and stuff for it. You know, we had no furniture, but we had layers and layers of carpet on it, so that was nice cushiony beds, you know, for everybody, and before we found that house, the one good thing about California was being warm, you know, and just about every park has shower units and that, so you could go take showers and stuff. So the homeless there are a little more privileged than homeless people here. But in the process, I met a lot of people that were homeless, and we worked together, you know, and We got a house, and the people that owned it, because we fixed it and made improvements on it, let us live there as long as we had the utilities. We had to pay the utilities. And like one guy was 80, I think he was 80. He had retirement, you know, so that money helped keep the utilities up and stuff like that. And for food, we would dumpster dive, and I was the queen of the dumpster divers, you know. And I'll tell you what, they throw me in that dumpster and I throw the food out. You wouldn't believe the food that gets thrown out, and you know, at the grocery stores, just because it's that day, they can't sell it after that day, and they throw it out. That food, we were eating better than when I had money. You know, when I had money, I couldn't afford to buy steak. You know, here we have steak, you know. We go to pizza shops and whole pizzas, you know. And what we did was we bought a stove, and I cooked the food up. We bought a refrigerator, you know. So we had a stove and refrigerator. And anything we'd get that needed cooked up, I would cook it up. We'd lay it out on tables like this out in the backyard. And homeless people would come, and we would feed them. And what we would do is, for the food, we'd have them do something. Like, if they know someone has a lawnmower, they can mow the lawn for us. Or they can bring different things, curtain rods, so we can hang curtains, or whatever, you know. And everybody kind of helped each other out, which made it real nice. Anyway, I did that for 2 years. And I worked at a antique shop. They paid me $20 a day, and that bought my beer, my cigarettes, you know, mm-hmm. and helped with whatever we needed in the household. I paid my share of the rent, you know. But none of us could afford an apartment by ourselves. The only way we could do it was the way we were doing it, is each person pay a little bit or do something around there. If they couldn't pay it, they'd do something around there to help with stuff that needed done. There's people that knew how to trim hedges. Well, they did that, you know. It was a community type thing. And I finally, a couple of people in AA talked me into going into rehab. So I went into a rehab out there. You don't want to be in a rehab out there. I was in the rehab. I ran away from there. I was there for 30 days, you know. And, I mean, it was a good rehab. But the only bad part was I was the only alcoholic. Everyone else was addicts. And I had, at that time, I had no clue what drugs were. You know, I wasn't around it, so I didn't really know. And after I ran away from there, my kids found out that I'd been out on the street. My boys lived here. They used to live there with me, but when they all moved, I went to pot, I guess you'd call it. So my middle son, Tim, sent me a one-way ticket, bus ticket, from California to Erie. And $20. He says, you can't buy no booze with $20.
Yeah, right.
So I spent that $20 in Vegas, you know. But and then I could buy booze. Okay, but I made it back to Pennsylvania, and at that time I was sober. That was in 94. And so I stayed sober to like 97, I think. And it was 97. And I had met a guy, and he was really nice. I hung out with him, and we dated for like 3 years. And he died of cancer. After he died, my dad died of cancer in January. He died of cancer in February. My aunt died in March. And I went to pot. But I never was in AA. Never till I started 12 years ago tomorrow. I never was in it. I didn't really know what it was about. If I'd have known, I right now I would have a lot more. I would have like 17 years. But I didn't. I didn't have no clue. Anyway, I just started drinking. It was weird because we've gone to my nephew's wedding. And I told my kids, I says, you know, I've been sober, almost 5 years. I think if I have a beer, it won't hurt nothing. Okay. He says, well, you've been sober this long, Mom. I don't think you're really an alcoholic. You know, okay, good. Uh-huh. That's all I needed. So I had a beer. I don't remember leaving that wedding. And I think I was drunk from that point to 99. November 7th, actually, 99, when I admitted into Glen Bay or Mill Creek Community Hospital. I was at the point where I'd get up in the morning. In order to even get to work, I'd have to get drunk. I drank. My 2 years that I drank were the worst years of my life because I drank worse then than I had ever drank. And my boss, what happened is my boss came up to me and he says, Lida, he says, you're a good worker. You always are, you never miss work, but you have to do something about your drinking. And I says, I want to, I just don't know what to do. You know, and they said, well, if we put you in rehab, will you go? And I said, sure. My God, I got that out of my mouth. I was on my way. I never even got out of my boss's office. I thought, wow, what did I do? You know, and then on the way, I had two beers left to my name, and I drank them on the way there. And my son was saying, really, Mom, you don't need... I says, I'm drinking them. This is my last beers, and I'm going to drink them. And it's okay, you know. So I drank them. Two beers, I blew a 0.17, you know. I said, can you imagine? I probably was still drunk from, you know, the night before. But so I went into rehab. And Mill Creek, and then they sent me to Glen Bay. Best thing that ever happened to me. I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't gone there. I think probably I was on my way to death row, you know, without a sentence or anything. I was headed straight to oblivion. You know, I drank constantly. I didn't care about nothing. Because of my drinking, I didn't have any control over my grandkids. I never got to see. The only one that I actually got to see was Bubba, my AA buddy. He was the only one of my grandkids at that time that I could see. And it was wonderful when he'd come to see me at Mill Creek Detox. It was kind of funny because he'd come running. He was only a year and a half. And he'd run down, and you know how they have the exit sign up on the top? He'd run and he'd stop and look at the exit sign, waiting for it to turn green so he could go. And I'd be standing at the other end waiting for him to come to me, you know. And it just was, he was the whole reason for me to stay sober. And to this day, he has one more year sobriety than me. He's 13 and I'm 12, you know. But now I babysit my grandkids. I never got to do that before. I have two grandchildren that I just finally got to see. I think, well, Dora met them on my 10-year. My kids had a party here for my 10-year AA birthday. And I was surprised because my one granddaughter that I hadn't seen and my grandson I hadn't seen since they were 6 and 8 were there. And that was the whole thing of AA right there, the reason to stay sober, you know. And now, since I've been sober, I've been doing a lot of service work, you know. This meeting is like my baby, you know. I love this meeting. And my home group is Pine Grove, which is here on Sundays. And I've been helping out with brown baggers now, you know, since I retired, which I hate. But I'm getting used to it. I'm getting used to it. And it'll take time, a long time, I think. But, yeah, I've been doing, I was on the conference committee for 4 years. I worked 1 year with the women's retreat. And anytime that I can help anybody, they don't have to be an AA. If they need help, I like to be there. Just if nothing, just to lend an ear, you know. And I've been very fortunate. I have a wonderful sponsor and a grand sponsor and a great grand sponsor who's very ill right now. And special people in this room, you know, that have helped me stay sober. Just by talking to me, just by showing up at this meeting, you know, being here. I can remember when there was only one or two, me and the speaker, you know. I mean, we'd have fun. We'd sit and yak, and we'd stay there the whole hour waiting. Maybe somebody would show up. Okay. You know, I did not want this meeting to not be there in case somebody needed a meeting. And thank God I did, because now we have all of us, and we're a big family now. You know, we were a little family, but I came from a big family. I'm the oldest of 14, you know. You know, I mean, we never needed anything, you know. We had everything we needed. And you know, I don't know what else to say except that if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be here today. Thank you.